Hey, Sasha, it's Minx.
Hi, Minx. How do you know I'm on the call?
It says Sasha just joined the call.
Oh, that's weird because I've been on for 10 minutes. That's interesting. I guess it just lets you know. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Recovering. I'll be in my
Yeah.
place next week.
Oh, still not in there.
No, 3 weeks. They're doing drywall painting, then they have to do all that before they put the floors down.
Oh, so
So,
where do you end up
sorry.
staying if
Oh,
you
I'm
can't
staying
leave?
with a friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been
Okay.
staying with her for it'll be 3 weeks.
That's a long time.
Yeah, but she's cool. She's got a 2-bedroom, and we actually both work at Core Power, and we are on completely different schedules, and we never even see each other. But she posted it on Facebook, and she said if anybody needs a place to stay, so she offered. It was her way of helping.
Wow, that's sweet of her. That's great. So.
Exactly. But I did get some assistance from FEMA, which I didn't know if I would, so that kind of softens the blow a little bit.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to hear you got that.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of people are, because a lot of people need it. And I mean, it's like, okay, here are taxpayer dollars finally coming in handy at a good time.
Yeah, it's nice to feel that, I bet.
Yeah, definitely.
How much do they give you? Do they give you a good amount?
Well, it's all based on your loss and how long you're out of your space and things like that. So it just varies. It
Oh,
just
okay.
totally varies. My place is just pretty small. It's only 1,000 square feet and like even under about 900. And I didn't have a ton of damage, but just it's uninhabitable. So it's interesting. I've become educated on the entire process.
Something, you never expect that's going to happen. That's
No.
like see it
I'm
on the
like,
news time and hear
yeah.
about it. It's wow.
Totally.
I can't even
Totally.
imagine what it's like.
Well, I think the community is still walking around in shock and disbelief, and central nervous systems are definitely taxed, from being in fight or flight mode for the last almost 3 weeks. It's challenging. But we're recovering. It's gorgeous weather. I'm going on a hike after our call. So,
Oh, that sounds
yeah.
wow.
So how about
Are
you? How's your doggy?
She's good. She's doing better. It's hard. She's got internal organ stuff going on, so it's kind of one of those things. Like externally, she seems to be holding steady.
Welcome, Jenny and Cynthia.
Hi there. Hi.
Hello. Minx is on the call with us, and we're just going to give people a minute or two to jump on the call.
Okay, tell me if this phone is, I'm going to try two different phones. Will you guys tell me which one sounds better?
Sure.
Because I have two, one, and I can never tell which one is which, so hold on one sec. Wait, is she on or off?
I think she went off.
Oh, okay.
Obviously that didn't work. Cynthia, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Yeah. You doing better?
Yeah, I've had some family issues with my
I
mom,
know.
but we're coping with that.
Yeah, I know that, so. Jenny, you're back.
I'm back. Never mind.
You
Tell me if
sound
this doesn't
clear.
sound. I
You
sound
sound
what?
super clear. It's
Okay,
clear.
good. Good. How's everyone?
I was just telling Yanks I'll be back in my place next week. That'll be 3 weeks, but
Oh,
the
wow.
community's struggling and recovering, but the sun is out and it's gorgeous. How are you?
I'm good. That's so intense. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's been pretty intense. Thank you.
And then the conference, I imagine it got canceled.
Yeah, unprecedented. I mean, there's one time I needed to be at a conference more than ever. It was now. So, welcome, Kia.
Thank you. Hi.
How are you?
So good.
Good.
How are things in Colorado?
We're in recovery mode. I'll be back in my place probably end of next week, so 3 weeks out. But I was just telling the group that, or I was telling Nink that I was very pleasantly surprised that I got some assistance from FEMA. Like, my tax-paying dollars are benefiting me in this situation.
Wow, that's really good to know.
Yeah, really good. Thanks. From Nicole, the shield. Ashley and Anna, I didn't get messages that they weren't going to be here. So let's just give one more minute, and then I want to really honor everyone's time. We're about, 5 minutes after. So let's just give them a minute or two, and then we'll start. You guys can be thinking, who wants to volunteer for the grounding? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Hopefully they'll join, and then everything's cool on their end. Is there anybody that would like to take the opportunity to settle us into our call?
I'll do it. It's Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
Okay. Wherever you are, whether you're in your apartment or home or in your car or wherever you are, if you can close your eyes and find some place to sit that allows you to sit upright, and feeling your base, your foundation, take your attention down to whatever is connected to the surface underneath you, whether it's the floor or a chair, and really feel the presence of your base. And continue, and start to become more aware of your breath, and notice if, like for me, for example, I just realized I haven't been breathing at all today. So start to take a few deep, full inhalations and exhalations. And as you breathe in, feel the breath inside your rib cage touch the sides of your body from the core to the periphery. And then as you exhale, let the back of your neck and shoulders release and your eyes move back. So there's a sense of your brain, your face, your nervous system is getting more passive while you ask your spine and the muscles around your spine and your upper back, you recruit those muscles to lift and open your chest. So as the brain releases down, it descends, ascend through with the help of the limbs and the upper back. Lift your torso, have that part of your body ascend. And then take another deep breath in and a deep breath out. And then allow your eyes, if they're closed, to gently open. and seen.
Hey, Jenny. It's so interesting to talk about the central
To talk about what?
The central nervous system.
Yeah.
Oh, Sasha.
I know. What a trooper you are. Glasses,
right? And
I think we have a bad connection.
So.
Did we lose Sasha?
I think something's going on.
I'm not hearing Sasha either.
Maybe she'll come back. When she's off, do we all have to hang up and...
There she goes.
I guess not.
We're all still here.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor Sasha. God.
Oh, that must be so unbelievably intense.
Yeah. It's like Katrina. Oh, not Katrina. Sandy. We had last year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how are you guys doing? Who do we have? We have Kia, Minx, and Cynthia?
Yeah.
I'm doing great.
Happy yeah, where are you, Kia?
Alive. I'm happy to be alive. It's sunny in California.
Yeah. For a change.
Wow, how weird.
I know. Wow.
Sorry, ladies.
No problem.
I didn't even move. okay, now I'm on my phone and not my computer, so we'll just... Anyway, so we're at the halfway mark here, this is number six, and it feels like it's been a little bit of time, obviously, because we missed our call last Thursday. So I kind of want to get, you know, it was really important to get grounded and become centered here and bring our focus and energy and awareness back to the program. I know we've all been dealing with our own issues, but for the next, you know, 75 minutes, I really want us to stay engaged in the process and get the most out of this call that we can. So I'm here to support you as we move through session number six. And since we just have four people on the call right now, I would love to go around and just get a quick check-in from everyone, whatever you'd like to share, whatever you feel that the group can benefit from. You know, certainly we've created the format of a win and a challenge. Maybe throw in how your SMART goals have changed since that was part of our own work, if they have. Not to necessarily go into it, but if you had a chance to check in with them and if they've shifted since the first time we've, since the first week that we began. Anybody can start.
Hi, it's Cynthia. I'll go first.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. My SMART goals have not changed. They're still the same, and I'm making traction with those. So I'm pretty excited about that. The challenge for me the last couple of weeks has been with my mom. She is having a lot of issues and emotional issues, and as a result is having health problems. So it's very hard for me to try and assist when I'm in Florida and she's in Kentucky, and there's a family dynamic around me being the leader, and that's been challenging as well, but I'm feeling better, and I'm coping with that situation. A win.
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
A win would be Okay. The win for the last couple of weeks is that I have decided to take a trip to Thailand over the holidays.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
I'm still here. I'm still here. I just switched back to my computer. Sorry.
Okay. So with everything going on with my mom and with work, I decided not to take a trip that I had planned for all year. But I've turned my thinking around and decided to go on the trip. So I made my deposit yesterday, and it's set in stone, so I'm going. I'm excited about
Yay.
That.
Yay! Yay, Thailand. Congrats.
I know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. When are you going? Over the holidays?
Yeah, I leave on December the 22nd, and I get back January the 6th.
That's awesome. Thank you so much
yeah.
for sharing. Who would like to go next?
I can go. It's Minx. Am I off of mute?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Navigating this whole phone scenario has been interesting.
I know.
You know, with all that's been going on for me, I felt the need to create less commitments in work. And so I'd been sitting with, you know, what felt the most, you know, where I felt the most resistance, you know, in terms of the things that were coming up that I needed to do. And interestingly enough, the mentorship you know, I mentor in the professional program, and that was the one that I just did not want to do. I just didn't want to. There's a group of people, and it was a very, very hard decision to come to. Ended up withdrawing myself from mentoring this year, which as soon as I did, it felt like space and breath and lightness, and I was so happy, which I found, you know, very interesting. So that's my win this last week. You know, it was interesting because as soon as I made that decision, everything else that felt like a challenge didn't suddenly feel the same. It felt more like possibility in the areas that were challenged now seem like, oh, my creative juices were going in those directions too. In an exciting way. So that was a really interesting experience for me. I feel like with the SMART goals, you know, honestly, I've had a lot of resistance to setting them. I think, you know, Sasha, one of the things that was coming to mind is last week or last time we talked, you mentioned that client who was really overwhelmed and just felt like she needed to step out of coaching.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Yeah, it's just,
yes.
I think I felt like there's so many things I've had to be responsible for that I feel this big resistance to setting goals other than to create space, like not to set a goal. Can not setting a goal be my goal?
Sure. No, I'm not quite sure, actually.
But I don't know if that makes any sense. I just feel like if we were talking about the nervous system, like my own has been like in massive like overload and fight or flight with all that's been going on. And it just feels like, you know, if anything, my goal is just replenishment.
Yeah. And we structure this, you know, this is pertaining to this particular program. Everybody's in a different space, and it's just a tool to use to get people to be thinking more longer term and creating sort of a roadmap for them. So, you know, what I hear you say is that you let go of a couple of things and you're feeling space and your creative juices are flowing, and yet when you think about participating in the SMART goals, it again gives you a sense of overwhelm. So just know that it's there for you. There are no requirements for this course except to show up. These are just tools, and maybe if you're not ready to dive into them today, you might be in a month or 2 months or 2 years. So no judgment, and I'm glad that you're finding some space for you. It's good self-care.
Thanks, Sasha.
Yeah. Who's next?
It's Jenny. I'll go. I assume that everything that we say here is confidential, right? That's
absolutely
good stuff. Okay. So, well, I am on this Saturday, I am celebrating 1 year of recovery. So that's a big deal. That's a huge win. And I don't share that with strangers ever or with people that I work with, but I'm sharing it with you guys because this is a sacred place. So that has brought up a lot of stuff, and this year has been very, very intense. And but I'm really excited, and I have to say that, you know, the past 6 weeks, you know, whether it directly relates to what the stuff we've been working on, write my list of all the things that are going on, it's like amazing, you know. So my SMART goal that I originally mentioned. I just want to say one thing to Minx. Minx, I had to take a year off of the 300 hour, and it was the best thing I ever did. So that good for you. My SMART goal that I shared with you a few weeks ago was to not be so anxious and scared about teaching, since I, you know, and not to have more confidence in what I do. And that has, you know, it hasn't changed completely, but there has definitely been a shift. And what I've done, and I mentioned it, is I set a little alarm on my iPhone that tells me, like, to pause 10 minutes before and, like, go someplace and, like, take a moment and meditate on what I'm really doing when I walk into the room. And that's been so helpful. Like, it's a 1 minute, you know, moment to change my, to like just change my headspace creates such a huge difference in my, when I walk into the space. I'm about to embark on a little bit of something that I'm struggling with, which is I'm going to my company, Yoga Works, and I'm going to be asking for some things that I need from them, and I might not get them, and we'll see what happens. But it's time for me as a teacher who's been working for a company for over 15 years to start to look out outside and, you know, look for other opportunities, because I've been completely just focused on that company for forever. So that's a little scary, but it's also like it's time to get out of my comfort zone. And one other thing is I'm working on some creative projects that I'm really, really excited about. And also, I think I mentioned last week that I was in a situation with a couple of friends, and as a result of that, I did some work around it, and I realized, like, my part, which was that I'm really terrible with boundaries, and I managed to find myself in triangles all the time. So that's giving me a little bit of interesting insight.
Hi, Nikki. Go ahead, Jenny.
I think I finished.
You finished? Okay, because there was a little delay, and I wasn't sure if you were in the middle of your sentence. So congratulations, and thank you for your courage and sharing your journey with us. Really, really appreciate it. And I just hear such strength from you. And, you know, I've seen strength and shifts in all of you in the short time we've been together, but just in speaking to what you just shared, strength in moving forward and moving through your fear and resistance and really taking care of your needs. So thank you. Kia, would you like to go next? And then we'll have Nicole follow. Nikki.
Sure.
I like how you Nicole. I'm sorry. So that's your name.
So let's see. Wow. There's a lot going on.
when isn't there a lot going on?
I know, just trying to narrow it down. I can't remember what my goals were at the beginning. I just know one of them is that I'm writing my own teacher training, and I've been pretty blocked about it, and I'd send off the application to the Yoga Alliance, and then they send it back to me for more information, and somehow that transaction of them sending it back to me just put some fire under my butt, and I finally now actually digging into it. So that's exciting. I guess that would be my win for this week, is that I've actually finally broken through the block that I was experiencing. I think another of my goals was to spend some more downtime, and in the last 2 weeks I did a 10-day cleanse, so I spent a lot of downtime, not always comfortable downtime, but it was still downtime, and I'm feeling really rejuvenated and especially clear and present. So that's been really exciting to me, just to have gone through that experience.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. Oh, I just also wanted to say to Minx, congratulations on not doing the 300-hour. I've just taken my first year off of doing what is usually 2 200-hours and 1 300-hour with yoga work, and I've just taken the year off from any of that, and it's been amazing for me. And so also to you, Jenny, I just encourage you to go in there and really ask for what you want, because YogaWorks has the weirdest sliding scale on what they give to whom, and if you don't ask for it, you don't get it. Anyway, sorry, I had to say that.
The weirdest sliding scale. Okay, nice. Well, thank you, Kia. I just love the supportive acknowledgement of each other. And I just, as a journalist myself, I can really appreciate and acknowledge you getting through some blocks with your writing. And congratulations on that. I'm starting my cleanse next week. So it's a fall time for cleansing in the fall and the spring, right?
Yep.
Comes
yep.
in a lot of things. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, how are you? Are you with us? You might be on mute. Oh, okay. She didn't want to speak. All right. Maybe she'll try to get back on. But let's go ahead and move forward. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. Any questions on the reading of pages 133 to 143? And if not, we're going to be going through some things. So when we get to those items, it might bring up some inquiries for you. So I'd like for everyone to turn to page 99. That Nikki?
I'm so sorry. In trying to unmute, I hung up.
Yes. Yeah. We're all just, we need a lesson in technology, all of us. We just need to do this in person. Anyway, how about 1 minute to share with the group, just a quick check-in, anything you want to share?
Yeah, I'm on day 19 of my 21-day cleanse, so I am very grateful that this is almost over.
Nice.
And I'm doing well. I'm very happy right now, and I'm going to California for 9 days, so I'm even more ecstatic, and I am my challenge right now is my eyes and trying to figure out what's going on. In fact, I went to my internist and now I have to get blood work done, and hopefully I'll know soon, because I'm not afraid of what it is. I just hate not knowing.
Yeah.
That's it.
When will they let you know?
I won't know because I'm going to California for 9 days, so I won't know until October 7th, I believe it is, 7th or 8th.
Okay. Well, as long as you're not flying the plane, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank
All right, so has everyone had a chance to find page 99 in their book?
Yes.
Yes.
And if you're driving, okay, yeah, we're good now. I thought I heard a little bit of feedback. We're going to talk a bit about shifting the perspective today. And I would like for Minx to just read a little bit in there, starting with shifting the perspective.
Okay. am I off mute?
Yes, you are.
Okay. The shift of perspective is a point of insight or awareness by the client. How can we look at this in another way? Have you seen this before? How did you handle it before that worked best? This model works as a process for achieving goals because it catalyzes change. Once an agenda is clear and one or more coaching interventions have been explored, the coach invites the client to shift or move beyond the stuck place and toward possibility thinking. The shift must occur in the client, not dictated by the coach. It is counterproductive to lock onto a solution and push for it before the client is ready. Hijacking the client's agenda will usually fail because there is no impetus from the client. Clients need to see and experience from their own perspective before they can proceed on their own path. The mentor coach invites the client to look at a problem in a new way or encourages possibility thinking. The shift invitation may come in the form of a challenge, a nudge, a suggestion, a new perspective, or simply questioning how the client's thinking led to his or her conclusion. Should I keep reading?
No.
Uh-oh, I can't hear her.
You can't hear me.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there.
Did we lose Sasha?
Maybe. Sasha, are you there? I guess we've got the yes.
Let's just hang on a second and see if she comes right back.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kia. It's Jenny.
Yes.
Can I have your phone number?
Yes.
Hang on, let me write it. Never mind.
Okay, I think this is just weird energy in Boulder. I'm so sorry. Okay, so anyway, I would like for you guys to highlight, underline, star that last sentence. The shift invitation may come in the form of a challenge, a nudge, a suggestion, a new perspective, or simply questioning how the client's thinking led to his or her conclusion. So I'd like for someone else to absorb what Ming's just read, this section here, and tell me what's possible when you work with a client in this way as a parallel to yoga, like working with a student this way on the mat. Inviting them to come to their own conclusion rather than the coach or teacher sort of hijacking or leaving the client there before they're ready. Like they're the ones that have to come to that aha moment themselves.
Okay, I can talk to that because I'm
great.
This is Jenny. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just worked with a woman for the first time, a private client, a few days ago, and she was referred to me, and she's a Jiva Mukti devotee, and she's very smart, has a great practice. She's experiencing a lot of neck and shoulder pain, and can't do poses like headstand anymore or shoulder stand, so I went to her apartment and met her, and I had to approach it in a way that wasn't, you know, I had 1 hour, and it's like I'd never seen her practice before, but I know that type of practice and how it potentially can be injurious. And so I had to work with her in a way that without, insinuating that she wasn't doing things correctly or that, you know, her type of yoga isn't good or whatever the case may be, I had to, like, kind of ask a lot of questions about, like, so when you practice this, how do you notice if you're, you know, dropping here or not, you know, engaging these muscles here? And it was very, very challenging, and it kind of reminds me of what this is saying, because I had to nudge literally her to try to tell me what she might be doing to herself that is harming her. And it wasn't, she didn't like the answers that she came to. She wasn't, you know, it was, cause it meant to her that she would have to completely give up her practice. And then, which I then had to reassure her that wasn't the case. She just had to do some other things to, you know, offset what she was doing not, you know, intelligently. Does that seem like it's a similar, or does that work with that scenario?
Absolutely. That's just a great example.
It was really challenging. Very challenging.
For sure. But as you get stronger in the principles and the teachings that you're learning here with mentor coaching, that's why I love this program. It translates directly to working with your students on the mat. So, we're creating an opportunity for the client to come from a different perspective and invite them to shift. It's that moment in the conversation where the coach is having an aha moment, but we almost have to wait and allow the client to come to it themselves, to discover it on their own. And we do that by clarifying their agenda, using powerful questions, the same tools that we've been learning. And a really critical rookie mistake is forcing or rushing the client to discover this. So there's that fine line between engaging with them and collaborating and bringing them along. But when you have that aha moment, that's the time to really use these tools, these powerful questions, to incite more conversation around what you're feeling. But it's really absolutely critical that the client discover this on their own without us hijacking the agenda. Does that make sense, you guys?
Yeah, and it's really challenging when you're dealing with somebody's body. I mean, it's, or how they do something that is so important to them with their yoga practice. It's tricky.
Absolutely. It is. And each situation is a bit different. But the tools, they do work, even if sometimes the answers that the client comes up with, like in the case of your student, doesn't want to hear. It's a way to break through resistance and fears and come up with a plan that's more suitable for their particular situation. So there are two basic questions or motivations that we all use as human beings on this planet. And if you have any background or in traditional Buddhism or Hinduism in their teaching, it pretty much aligns with this. You know, one of the basic motivations is to avoid pain or aversion. And the other one is to seek pleasure or craving. Can anybody speak to their experience with their knowledge of this or using it in an experiential way with one of their students?
Is this breaking up for anyone else, Sasha?
Can you hear me?
I didn't hear, like, the last three sentences.
Oh. Is everyone else, can everyone else hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I heard you.
My phone.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where I left off, but there are two basic motivations to avoid pain, which is otherwise known as aversion, and pleasure, which is otherwise known as craving. And I just wanted to open it up to the group if anyone has worked with these two motivations and has any experience in working with them with their students.
Sure.
Okay.
It's like all the time, every day, every situation.
Nice. All right. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, these are those basic obstacles of, you know, dvesha and raga, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they seem to always go hand in hand. Like I was just speaking with one of my students, you know, who derives great pleasure from going to classes that are inappropriate for his body. And, you know, For this student, he gets great pleasure from feeling like he's powerful in a class that's inappropriate and too hard for what his body's going through. So on a level, he gets some weird pleasure from being there. And then, you know, there's a lot. But the thought of not going creates a lot of emotional pain for him. And so he goes to avoid the pain of not going and for the pleasure of going. And now he's contending with, you know, the reality that there's so much physical pain that he may need to reassess, you know, the pleasures he's interested in and what types of pain he would be, you know, wise to avoid.
That is so well put. That is just... Yeah.
They're very complicated beings.
Uh-huh. Have you had a conversation with him around doing some different classes that would be better for his body?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we created a practice for him at home so he could still experience the power in his body that would be healthy for him to access without damaging the area that, you know, he had an accident recently. And to, you know, reassess which classes to go to so he can still have that group experience and be with others. That's so important for him. So, yeah, we totally laid that out. And actually, you know, the emphasis on shift the perspective and the powerful questions I found useful in that conversation.
That's so great to hear that these things are showing up in your daily lives, in your daily practice, your daily teachings.
And, you know, I just want to say one more thing was this thing that you're highlighting, which is wait for them to get to it, is when I did try to wait for him to get to this because, you know, as soon as he walked in, it was plain as day to me what, you know, what was going on. But we had the questions, we had the reflection, and as he arrived at it, it was light and open and, you know, he had humor about it instead of like the devastation and, you know, the world is coming to a crashing end and yoga practice is over forevermore, how he came in. And so that was really beautiful to watch, you know, as his perspective shifted and I waited for him to come to some conclusions that the emotional life around that's very different than if I just said, well, you know, you really need to go to other classes and stop doing this and you're damaging your own body.
Right. And if we're not aware of these tools that we have or we're developing to use, it creates such a different dynamic between teacher and student or coach and client, right? It's almost like we're fixing them. We're telling them what to do. And that is the total antithesis of what coaching is. Remember, coaching is collaborative, and we hold our clients as creative, resourceful, and whole. And getting them to work with you to come to their own conclusions is powerful. And in that, you sort of not bypass, but you work through the resistance, and it creates more lasting change when they're coming to it on their own. So that was just a really great example. You know, because on the flip side of every obstacle is a desire. And as mentor coaches, we use these tools to uncover that desire. So we're creating this opportunity, then inviting the shift. Is anyone else on the call, does anyone else on the call want to add anything regarding the craving and the aversion piece that they've experienced?
This is Kia. Well, I just led 25 people through a 6-day juice and Kundalini yoga cleanse. And so it was so wonderful just to witness people starting to understand how they seek pleasure and avoidance or to move through emotional stuff through eating food. And to, you know, the little aha moments that would happen for them, because I think that so many of us have a dysfunctional relationship with nurturing ourselves and, you know, trying to fill the perceived emptiness and seeking pleasure through food or, you know, even avoiding pain by eating food. So I sort of saw it in this last week in many examples, but just the aha moments and how clear people became with it. It was really inspiring for me.
Wow, that's inspiring to hear, yeah. And food is a big one, but any kind of self-medication, you know, whether it be drugs or alcohol or food or sex or shopping or whatever it may be to help sort of self-medicate what people don't want to be dealing with. So we look for those things, and we stay away from judgment and in a place of collaboration, and again, use our tools to just explore with the client, you know, really what's at the bottom of why they're not moving in the direction that they say is important to them. So it's not always the case in terms of meeting people where they are. They might be there, they might not, but that food example and avoiding the pain is a huge one. So thank you for sharing. Great. Okay, let's keep moving on, and we'll turn to page 137, please. And it's here under coaching interaction that people begin to write their life story. And what we need to understand is they are writing it daily. And what is needed to further the client's objective and enable forward movement is to listen to your gut and pay attention to your hunches about your client. So what I heard Jenny say earlier about the private that she was working with is you had to give her, your client, a little bit of a nudge to be able to open up and take a look at what's really going on. And they give in the book some examples of ways to help, you know, deepen the collaborative alliance and develop that safety and trust with your client. So I would like each of you to look through the page on page 137, well, there's only one on there, 138, 139. Pick one, read about it, and then how do you understand it, and how do you apply it to yoga? Are the guidelines clear? If you pick one of these ways to sort of get your client to think a little bit further and think in different ways. And I want you to tell the group how you understand it and how you can apply it to working with your students.
Are we doing this right now? Or
yes.
Are we doing this
no,
the next
No, we're doing it live.
Oh, okay, live. Okay.
Well, I could start. It's Kia.
Okay.
We know you, Kia, because you have an accent.
Although I don't feel like I have now. I have to work on it. It sounds very American to me.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, the one that stuck out to me right away is the story bus. What I witness right now, and again, these are more general things I'm talking about, is in Los Angeles there's this incredible trend to go to really hot, sweaty yoga classes. And I just see people actually getting what looks like to me addicted to these hot, sweaty yoga classes, even when, and this is much to what Jenny was saying as well, even when it's clearly obvious that it's not serving them. So it's interesting to me, like, how to bust through that story that they're telling themselves and where they're limiting themselves by just believing that that's the only way that they can practice yoga, that it has to be the hardest workout possible and that they have to leave, you know, with a huge puddle on the floor. Like, for some reason, that it's not yoga if they're not doing that. And I'm flabbergasted constantly. I'm like, wow, really? Is this it? Is this what you're thinking that the yoga practice is really all about? For me, I'm always looking as a teacher as how to gently prompt people into the deeper discovery of themselves through yoga, as opposed to let's just, you know, hang out and there and grimace through this pose, because that's what I've been doing my whole life. It's just grimacing through a pose, you know, and pushing, like I feel like going back to the body again, people just treating their bodies like slaves, you know, just another thing to beat up, to move around, to force into awkward positions, all in the goal of, you know, a tighter butt or whatever it is. So my thing that I'm working with right now is how to gently question, have them start to question their approach and look deeper. Does that make sense?
It does, and it just facilitates my next question of using the tools that you've learned thus far, like what would be a gentle question that you could ask them to get them to be thinking in that way?
Oh, that's a good question.
You see.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. Come on.
I'm curious to hear anybody else's take on that.
I have an idea. Well, you know, Kia, I'm like right there with you with that flabbergastation. I don't think that's a word, but of what students think is what they need to be doing. And so what I often do in classes is I nudge, my favorite new word, nudge gently for them to pay more attention to, like I'll say something like, you know, bend your knee over your ankle, bend your knee over your ankle, please bend your knee, it's still not bending. And then I'll say, you know, I don't know if this applies directly, but it does actually make people notice a little bit more what they are doing. And I'll say, it's fine if you're not doing what I'm asking you to do, but please know at least if you are doing it or not doing it, and if it's a conscious decision.
Awesome.
You know, it's like, are your feet aren't together? Is that on purpose? Do you know that? Or are you just, you know, just getting people, just like how, you know, that push, and that, like, actually not residing in your body at all, with, you know, because your head and your body are disconnected, and, you know, our body's just carrying our head around. but I come up with that, I come up against that all the time, Kia. And I'll write down some ideas and send them to you.
Yeah, because I would like to give everyone a chance to, you know, share with the group. So, Kia, more to come on that, a work in progress, okay? But thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, hot topic for us all right there.
For sure. Who would like to pick a different one and speak to it?
I can, Smink.
Okay.
On page 140, regulate states of mind. This is one that stands out to me. So when I see that, what comes to mind for me is the gunas and, you know, rajas, tamas, and sattva. And so, you know, one of the things I regularly apply with my students is to raise awareness for them to understand what these are. Are they calm, clear, present? Are they, you know, in a distracted, overactivated mental state where it's very scattered? Are they, you know, spaced out, foggy, dull? And so, you know, regularly through classes, I'll have many strategies to just have them reflect for a moment or to inquire what's more predominant and to decide for themselves which one they want to aim for, kind of like you, Jenny. Like, well, is your knee bent or not, you know? Is it where it is or not? At least choose, you know, have some intention around that. And so that, you know, that's for regulating states of mind what it looks like to me.
And would that be something that you would tie into a theme? Or is it just a way to have people begin reflecting on where they're at in that present moment?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Good.
Like I may have
a whole theme towards, the, how do we create sattva using with right use of the body, the breath, the power of attention, what happens, what's the feel, I'll do inquiry throughout the class, but also like targeted intention and, for those who want to, it's usually my call, if this interests you.
awesome.
And I'll give some teachings to make it, I call it my yoga commercials, what can you say that makes them interested in wanting to try it?
Nice. I love it. Okay, Cynthia, how about you?
Would you like to choose one and speak to it?
Yes, the mirror. I'm sorry, which one? The mirror, okay, on 138 top, okay.
Yep, page 130. I'm getting some weird sounds, but I'll try and talk through it. So I chose mirror because I find myself doing this quite often, in coaching and at work and with my family members. And I, of course, I'm not actively teaching yoga right now, but I did a little experiment the other day that I'll explain in a bit. But I think mirroring is awesome because when you're talking with someone and they say something that's going away from, self-care or nurturing their self, they say something negative, and you simply ask them to rephrase it in a different way, and say, hey, that's very interesting. Can you explain that to me in a different way so that I could understand it, more clearly? And they have to think about what they're saying, and then they hear themselves and whatever they're saying about themselves or a particular situation. And so it kind of centers them and brings it to the forefront about what they're saying or thinking and what to do with that. So it kind of changes their perspective almost immediately.
Absolutely.
And I find that very, very useful. So the other day, it's been about a week and a half ago, there's several folks at work that have volunteered to go through the pains of me teaching them yoga.
Go through the pleasure.
These are folks who have never done yoga, and I asked a couple of people who work not yoga practitioners, to participate, and they volunteered, and so a lot of the students were having a hard time understanding my instruction, not because of my instruction, but because they were new to yoga, and they just couldn't get it. They haven't been in a class, they haven't seen the poses, and even though I would demonstrate for them, they just weren't getting it. So luckily, I had an even number of folks, only had six, but I had them face each other in pairs of two and do some of the poses. And the other person, so one person had the mirror and the other person had to go into the pose. And it was so eye-opening to people just, by doing that little instruction and the other person mirroring them, what happened and what unfolded. And I think through that practice, a lot of people started talking about how that technique, falls into other aspects of their life and their work. And that was a very empowering process to go through.
Absolutely. Congratulations on teaching your coworkers. I'm sure your class is going to continue to grow, but I love that example. I don't think I've ever heard that as a yoga parallel in using mirroring with the students actually mirroring each other physically to learn the postures. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's brilliant. Awesome.
It was a lot.
Nick, go ahead.
That's it.
You say it was a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was.
Are you going to do it again?
I am.
Okay. Great. Nikki, what's up for you?
Give me 1 second.
Okay. And then we're going to have to move on to our coach the coach.
Can I say one thing about reframing? Sure.
Really quickly.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, of course, Jenny. I forgot that there was, you hadn't gone because you spoke and I forgot that it wasn't. You didn't make it.
Because I never shut up. Sorry. reframing.
Wait, Jenny, can you reframe that?
I love to talk and share.
Okay.
I use reframing in classes all the time when I'm teaching something that is causing agitation by, you know, students can't do it very well, for example, like balancing poses. And I often attempt to frame the challenges in a way that are, you know, when things are challenging, you know, like rest assured, adversity will come in your life. So can we use these opportunities in class when we're being challenged by, you know, when the stakes are low because we're in a class to look at it as an opportunity to handle something differently rather than to be, you know, to be pushed over, or what's the word I'm looking for, to be knocked over by something, to just reframe it as an opportunity rather than an obstacle.
And do you find that they, you know, because they're not reframing verbally, you know, that would be, if I'm understanding you correctly, you know, sort of reframing it in how you're offering it to them or in how they're entering into the asana?
But can you, wait, say that again? Because I'm not reframing it verbally in terms of giving them an exact example of a...
Well, I was asking,
what do you mean?
I was asking, were you reframing your own words to help them
yes.
get into a posture versus... Okay, great. Great.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. I would, you know, say something like, let's try to look at this differently. That sort of thing, so that they're it's not a single-minded sort of, oh, this is so awful, but rather how about taking some, because it's all in our perspective anyway, in our perception, and try to shift. It's pratipakshabhavanam, you know, it's that sutra, cultivate the opposite, and I use that a lot in class.
Absolutely, absolutely, I love that too. Nikki, would you like to share before we get into Coach the Coach?
Be super quick. I think I was looking at strategize, which is not something I think that we would think of using in a yoga setting, but there's two examples that came up for me, and one was, this is when I lived in New York, there was Jean Marie, and she used to do this thing where she would time us in handstand. And, you know, every week or every, she would add the amount of seconds that she would keep us up. And for me, it was really great because it was simple, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound, right? Like, it was really easy to measure my success. And then I had a private client that was incredible. He was the CEO of a company and just super smart guy. And he literally came in with this chart where he wrote every single pose that he could think of. And it was in an Excel spreadsheet. Every pose, yeah, that he wanted to do, and he rated it, like, never tried it, okay at it, really good at it, could be better, right? And so he literally, like, did my job for me. And he'd be like, okay, these are the poses that I want to get better at. And he would go and look at his Excel spreadsheet. He would literally check off, like, what he needed to do and how he could get better and what he achieved and what he didn't. And it was like, I was like, oh, I should do this for all my clients because it was hard evidence of success.
That is so
that is funny. And it's also an example of different modalities of learning and understanding. And obviously, he has a very analytical mind and very visually has to write things down. So I'm curious if he was in the engineering field or anything like that, because typically
that's preference exactly of what he was in. Exactly what he was in.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Great. Thank you for sharing. So... before we start, would somebody please volunteer to once again name the five steps of the simple coaching model, please?
I can do it. Thanks.
Okay.
Yep. Specify the client's agenda, determine useful intervention moment, shift the perspective, frame the session, follow up.
Okay. And today we have talked mostly around shifting the perspective. So the people that are listening into this coaching session, I want you to, you know, listen intently if that's happening and when that's happening and how it's happening. So Minx is coaching. Oh, that's interesting that I'm just recognizing that now. Minx is not coaching Ashley because that would be super challenging since she's not on the call. Who would like to be coached? I'll just offer it up. Who has not been coached yet?
I haven't been coached, I don't think.
Who is it?
Jenny. I don't think so.
Jenny. Okay. So Minx will coach Jenny, and Nicole will be the primary observer. So Nicole, Kia, Cynthia, and I will press star 6. We're getting, like, a 5-minute late start here. You'll still get 15. We'll just have shorter time on the feedback. So give us a second to mute and then go ahead and begin and watch your time.
Okay, Minx, you there?
I'm here. How are you, Jenny?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well, and I'm happy to do this with you.
I know, me too. I think that you'll be able to provide some valuable insight. I just finished here's my situation at the moment. I'm despite everything that's going on, I'm actually in a really good headspace, so that's good. I just finished a 200-hour extensive format. I call it the infinite format. It went on for months and months and months. And anyway, so I just finished that. And that was I think I mentioned this last week, that was my 30th teacher training, 200-hour. And I just, every time I even think of those, I just can't believe how many I've done and how hard I've worked in the past 9 years since I moved to New York. So Monday, I'm beginning another training, an intensive, and I'm kind of flipping out because I don't know if you've taught an intensive before, but in New York, we teach them alone. It's just one trainer, and it's insane. It's so overwhelming. It's so much work. It's my whole life kind of stops. And which I end up loving it. It's like yoga camp. It's really fun. I love this. I love training. I love teaching them. So that's not the issue. It's just very, very, very taxing on my body, on my life, on every aspect because I have no time or energy for anything else. And what I'm really having a hard time with right now is the fact that in other regions, intensives are taught, as far as I know, I could be wrong, by two trainers. And in New York, somehow, we only have one. And that I haven't gotten a raise in 6 years for teaching teacher trainings. And I've taught, and I've trained pretty much, I've accounted 15 teachers who are now teaching trainings and, in this region and in other regions in exports. And I'm feeling really devalued and kind of taken advantage of. And, I've mentioned it to the powers that be, and it just gets kind of brushed aside. And so I'm just trying to decide what I need to do about this because it's just making me very resentful and really angry. So that's okay. Where I'm at. But,
I hear there's a lot of frustration there, and I can totally relate. So is that, what you want to focus on with our time today, perhaps a next step or clarity around what to do with this frustration and your, it sounds like you want to ask for something that would feel more supportive for you from Yoga Works.
Yes, exactly. I would really love to work on that with this time that we have, if possible.
Okay. So I hear there's two pieces around this that stand out for me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one is that you're feeling concerned about how to balance the effort that goes out in teacher training that's coming up in the intensive where it takes over everything. With taking care of yourself on a body level and the rest of your life level. And the other piece is, feeling like you get the right kind of support that feels good to you from yoga work. So do you want to focus on one of those more than the other?
The latter, please, because I feel that I've taught so many intensives at this point that I've pretty much got a system down of how to take care of myself. And what's more on the forefront of my mind right now is how to, one, go into the situation without resentment because it's not fair to the students, and two, how to address this with Jessica Schmidt and Phil and everybody else, so that because what I've gotten in the past is sort of like this, well, that's the way it is kind of answer, and it's sort of, and it's it's just not working for me in terms of like, it just, I can't afford to live with what they're offering me, so I have to make some changes. So I'm just trying to I want to be able to approach them in a way that's not, I don't want to attack, I want to go with, it's like I want to go into a conversation with them, kind of like a coaching session where I'm not, where I'm asking questions rather than I need this, this isn't fair, blah, 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 which is how I feel, so that there's some, otherwise I just know that the response will not be positive. So how to do that?
Yeah. Can you tell me more about, you said you feel a lot of anger, frankly, around this whole thing. Can you tell me more about that?
Over the course of the years that I've lived in New York, I've had a few different roles, which I think you have the similar role. I'm steering committee for teacher training and teacher director, and both of those roles were taken away from me because those roles weren't necessary anymore, I guess. I mean, everybody here who works behind the scenes, it's like they just don't need me to do those things, which is absolutely fine. I mean, the income loss was not okay, but I get it. I get that, if I'm not needed, it's better for me just to be a teacher anyway. So not angry about that, but just sort of the way that I feel like I've been treated is sort of like, figure it out, Jenny, like, you're a yoga teacher and this is just like the way it goes. And in the meantime, I've put all of my time and energy not in looking outside for other opportunities, not in doing my own teacher training, not working with other teachers at other studios, but just being completely loyal to a company who now I feel is not really supporting me anymore, because I've trained so many trainers that I've trained myself out of a job. Sort of. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I totally hear you and have, noticed that type of feeling potentially arising now and then in myself. One of the things I heard you say is you felt like you were left to figure it out on your own, and it sounds like that feels like it wasn't very supportive. And I'm wondering if you could imagine it being handled differently, what would feel better for you in terms of the collaboration between, the people that you interact with in your region and, your relationship with working at Yoga Works. Like, what would feel more supportive for you, or what would you have liked for them to have done that may have felt more supportive?
Pay me more money. I mean, give me, most companies, I think, as years go on, they're more, senior employees start to make more money as time goes on. So that feels very unsupportive. Like, you hit the ceiling, telling employees that they hit the ceiling and asking them to continue to work hard seems, I just haven't been in the corporate world in so long that I'm sort of, my perspective is skewed. Like, I'm like, is this normal? And maybe to, how else can I receive support? Since you're, Jenny, you've been so instrumental in helping us and not even just words, because I don't need that kind of validation, but what about you, we give you this, why don't you try this so we can make up the income that way, or some kind of other option so that, so I don't just feel like I'm being, dismissed. That's what I feel like, I'm being dismissed, and that everyone's just too busy to talk to me. And I don't want to be a nuisance. I've been in the position where I've had to deal with teachers who were feeling the way that I'm feeling, and I know what it's like to be on the other side. So I'm really conflicted about how to, and the bottom line is, and I know this, and I know that this would be the answer that I'm coming to talking to you, is I need to go get out of my comfort zone and go elsewhere as well, and go, find other opportunities. Again, I've just been so scared, like Nikki was talking about, I've done this for so long, how do I walk into the door of another place and say, hey, can you give me a job? So that's just scary. And I guess, like I just mentioned in the reframing in class, I can take it as an opportunity. So I don't know. How does that sound? I mean, it's scary. I'm scared, essentially.
Is do you feel like this fear is, it's just my intuition around this, is there's two levels of fear. One is fear to go outside of Yoga Works and, like you said, extend your comfort zone beyond sort of the thing that's been so familiar for the last 15 years. And two is the fear to have that conversation with Yoga Works to see if there's a new way to rework what's been happening and a new way for you to share what you have and for them to appreciate you within the structure of Yoga Works. Does that sound right?
Exactly. Yes. And you totally nailed it. There's two separate fears, parallel fears. I think that we might be running out of time. Is that true, Sasha?
We're getting close.
Go ahead.
In our remaining time, which one would you like to talk about a little bit further?
The one of talking to Yoga Works, of how to go to the authorities and be professional and be, handle it with grace. That's what I'd like to.
Okay.
So ladies, take another 3 minutes here, okay?
Okay.
Sure, thanks. Have you thought about speaking with somebody to support a strategy to approach Yoga Works?
Yes, and I'm formulating an email to sort of like bullet point some things. And I am talking to some people who are not, the thing is, it's like it's hard to talk to people who are not in the yoga world. It's really hard to explain this weird, planet that we live on, in yoga planet, to other people who work at other jobs. But I'm trying to talk to other people who are professionals. And I'm having a hard time trusting anybody at Yoga Works, asking anybody for help in that, realm. But yes, I am doing that. I'm writing an email. I'm taking time. I'm pausing. I'm not, pushing send right away. I'm asking for feedback from others. I'm talking to you right now.
And how do you feel like you're receiving the support that you need by taking those steps?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And so what would feel to you like, we have just a few minutes here, and I hear you're crafting an email. Does that feel like that's your next step in terms of making headway with speaking to, we're talking about Yoga Works as it's this big entity, but maybe Jessica?
I think I have to write an email because she's impossible to get on the phone because she's very busy, and I think that I can better be clear and not so stumble over my words out of when I'm having a conversation with somebody. And plus, having a conversation over the phone because I'm in New York and she's in LA isn't going to be as effective, I think. What do you think?
I think you'll have to, come to what you feel is the best strategy of communication with her. But, another intuitive hit here, Jenny, which is, it seems like you have an action plan in place. Have you thought about how to shift your fear into a place of possibility as you do these actions?
No, I haven't thought about that. What does that entail? Sort of just meditating on it and reframing in my head. So had like maybe what? Well, yeah, I don't know how to do that.
Well, in the past, for example, you were talking about you had fear going into the classes to go there and share what you wanted to share with your students in the way that you wanted to. How's that strategy working to deal with the anxiety and fear, and do you think that would work in this case?
I could definitely try it.
Okay. Would you be willing to try that?
Absolutely. I'm willing to try anything.
Okay. Would you be willing to try that before our next buddy check-in?
Yes, I just have to think about what kind of context that would look like, because it's not like a walking into a room thing. It's more a long distance sort of situation. So, but yes, I can definitely do my best to do what you're asking. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. Well, really, it's what not so much with Jessica, but what can you do with yourself before you talk to her?
Got it. The
way to think about it, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. So
that method that appeals to you, you know, you just said you like that. And so, you know, before ever even thinking about sending the email or interacting with Jessica, how would that feel just for you to sit with yourself, set your iPhone maybe, you know, whatever the method is that you feel, just to help yourself reflect on what's going on with specifically this fear that you're feeling to, you know, in the background of all these plans that you have, just so that you feel like you're in that place most effective to ask for the support that you want.
Great. I really, really, really think I haven't considered that, and that makes so much sense, really, just to ground and breathe and, you know, pause. So I will definitely implement that and check in with you.
Okay, great. And it sounds like you have a plan. So you've got your emails, your support system in place, and now you have this next step, you know, which sounds very powerful. I can hear, you know, some of the hope in your voice there.
And, oh, good. You know, well, I really, you're amazing at this. You're hired.
You know,
let's go ahead and invite the other people back on. You're hired because she's got that kind of time.
Oh my God! So good.
Awesome. All right, Nikki, would you be so kind as to facilitate our feedback discussion?
Yes, Minx. I actually did think you did a wonderful job. I felt you stayed because I had the model sitting out in front of me, and I felt like you really did a good job of staying with the model. At the beginning, I wanted you to take a little bit more of a lead. You know, Jenny started talking pretty much immediately, but you didn't ask questions. What is the agenda? You know, our first specified agenda. But after talking, really great job of listening to her. I wrote, you said exactly, which was, you know, she kept talking about how things were taxing, that they're going tonight. Yeah, but it was great. We're trying to keep going back to, okay, what is the agenda? And she said, talk about how to
I'm not hearing most of what Nikki's saying.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Nikki, you're definitely fading in and out. I can only hear a little bit too.
I don't know what to do. Hold on. Let me see if I can walk closer to the door. Hold on. I don't know what has happened because this is the same place that I've always been, and all of a sudden I'm dropping calls. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk out my front door. And now you're just grass blowing.
Well, while she's trying to get a little bit clearer, Kia and Cynthia, I'd love your thoughts as well.
Hi, it's Cynthia.
I also thought that Minx did a great job. She clarified the agenda when she had the opportunity to do so, and then she broke it down and asked for confirmation. And then once she got that, she again narrowed down the scope of what their call was supposed to focus on, and she kept breaking it down so that Jenny could really concentrate on what was most important, and so that they could come up with, you know, something for Jenny to shoot for a task or to accomplish something. And Minx asked a lot of open-ended questions, which allowed, you know, Jenny to do most of the talking.
That's terrific. Thank you. Kia, what are your insights?
I just thought Minx was fantastic. She just kept clarifying it, repeating back what she heard, asking what Jenny wanted to work on, and, you know, really looking for a solid step that she could take. And even gave her that sort of intuitive insight at the end, which, you know, helped Jenny just reframe her experience for a moment. I thought it was great.
I couldn't agree more. Nikki, are you back with us?
Well, you can tell me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would just reiterate what everyone else was saying, that I thought she did a really great job of clarifying. And then I thought that it was really impressive the way she shifted Jenny's perspective at the end. And the only thing that I want to add, and this is just for me to Jenny, was that when you're negotiating, the most powerful place that you can come from is knowing what your value is and knowing that you would be able to walk away. And I know that I've had to do that myself. In fact, this one time I went to get a job at another studio, they literally sat me down and said, you can't go teach here because it's against our contract. And I said, well, are you sure you want to lose me? Because, you know, and so I would say shift it from a place of fear to owning who you are and knowing that you're worth what you're asking for. And be ready to, you know, have a plan B.
Yeah, thanks, Nikki. I hear you.
So, Jenny, tell me how that felt for you.
Really, really great. I mean, I think Minx is, I thought it was, she was both so compassionate, so calm, asked really big questions, but that didn't feel overwhelming. And really made me narrow down what I was asking for, because I'm all over the place with it, because I'm so, you know, it's a little chaotic in my own brain. So her asking over and over, so which part of this should we talk about, really was such a very skillful. I want Minx to move in with me and help me with all my life decisions. Anyway, I loved it. I really, really loved it. I find it so helpful.
Thank you.
And Minx, what are your thoughts?
I just enjoyed it so much. My thoughts are, I can hear myself echoing. I'm mirroring myself. it's, you know, wonderful working with Jenny just now. You know, she's just so forthcoming, and it's, I can see how that, you know, having a client who's on board and eager to be coached is such a gift. And it just, if you really, it feels like if you just really stay present, the, you know, something wakes up inside that directs you to the next thing. And, my thoughts were, wow, 15 minutes is so super short. Yet potent.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, 15 minutes or 16 or 17, it's a very, very short amount of time. And I would have loved to have been on the other 45 minutes of the call just to see where it went. But it was... it was a beautiful dance between the two of you, and I thought you both showed up in a place of authenticity, and I think Mink, you really showed a brilliant use of intuition to have that guide you to further engage with Jenny. And like everyone has said, narrowing it down so that Jenny could get out of her head a little bit and sort of distill exactly what it is that's holding her in a place of fear and in resistance. And I think you would have explored that more given more time. But the mere fact that at the very, very end, I'm like, are they going to get there? Are they going to get there? You know, to shift the perspective, and boom, there it was right at the end, you know. And it just shows me that you all have been listening to and supporting each other by remembering, and I know you shared it again today, Jenny, but by remembering what Jenny had done in the past or recently to ground herself before she walks into the studio to teach a class, and how she felt so successful with that, and to bring that in as a reminder to say, hey, look, you've got a tool here that you can access for any time that you need it to ground yourself and to really get clear on how you want to approach your situation and how you want to compose this email. I just thought it was really, really well done. I love the fact that you talked about two things that you were hearing. You know, the fear and then the action piece. And I think all of you, even the people giving the feedback, you're listening in ways that reminds me of how much you've grown in the six short weeks that we've been doing this work. To be able to give this kind of feedback is incredible. And I'm so proud of all of you. It doesn't matter what role you're in. Simply by listening, that's the powerful, most powerful gift you can give to anyone. We're a couple minutes over, but I just wanted to let you know my thoughts and see if there are any questions that I might answer in like the next 30 seconds, and then I'll go over the homework. All right. Great job, everyone. Really, really great work. So the homework for next week is to read pages 127 through 131. Review page 97 through 100, which is just the five steps. And I'd like for you in your yoga supplement to read about satya. And do the action challenge on page 8. Okay. So thanks again.
Wait, Sasha, I'm sorry. Can you – I'm trying to use my iPad because I can't find my phone. So I just want to make sure 127 to 131.
Correct.
And then satya in the yoga part, is that what you said?
Right, and the action challenge that's on page 8.
Okay.
And then review the five steps of the simple coaching model, which is basically pages 97 through 100.
Okay.
All right. So I'll be sure that the people who did not come on the call get them everything they need to know. I made a little adjustment since, Jenny, you were the client today. I'll switch it out with Ashley. But thank you so much for your time and your energy, and just appreciate working with all of you. So have a great week, and let me know if I can support you in any way.
Thanks, Thank Sasha. You. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.